I get started this morning. How many here have heard of a man by the name of Hudson Taylor? I notice, without sounding rude, I notice it's the older generation. Hudson Taylor was a missionary at the age of about 20 years old. He left the UK to go to China. Now, I'm talking China, I'm talking in the latter part of the 19th century. And this man spent 51 years in China, ministering as a missionary, serving God, in what was really an impossible situation for him. Others that blazed the trail went against the odds. People like Livingstone into Africa, Carey, and many others that went into situations which were, put like this, out of their control. Why? Because God called them. And Hudson Taylor, he famously is quoted of saying this little formula, which really my message this morning is inspired from this quotation. And it's this: first, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. Then third, it's done. First, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. Then third, it's done. And now let's pray, shall we, for the offering. Brother Mahmoud, would you give thanks for the offering?
Thank you, Lord, for this place where we are worshiping you.
Yes, thank you, Lord, Jesus.
For this day to give us in our life, we praise your name and life. Thank you, Lord, especially pray for this time of offering, the people giving, bless them, and bless their families. Bless this church, church pastors, and bless the whole congregation. Jesus.
Amen. Yes, so this man, Hudson Taylor, not only did he spend 51 years working in China in really tough conditions, impossible conditions, he adopted Chinese culture and he became very much like the Chinese people. And because of that, thousands came to know the Lord as their Savior. He was the founder of what was then known the China Inland Mission, which now you might know it as the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. But this was a man, and I want us to consider this man this morning as this statement he made. First, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. Then third, it's done. Because we're going to go to the scriptures this morning, we're going to see a man that was following this same formula. Impossible, difficult, done. And if you've got Bibles and you want to turn with me, and Brother Joe will put it on the screen behind, we're going to go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Because in this passage of Scripture, Mark 9, we read of a father who has such a concern and love for his son, who is critically, I'm going to use the word, out of control. In verse 14, we read these words. And when we're talking about Jesus here, when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. And running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, he says, you know, what are you discussing with them? And then somebody in the crowd speaks up. And says, one of the crowd in verse 17 answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And then Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, when the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father replied, from childhood. And often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What a situation we find this father in here. He's in an impossible situation. And what's amazing is not even the disciples were able to help this man. You know, they'd spent enough time with Jesus. They'd traveled with him. They'd seen him work. They'd seen him minister to the sick and those that were possessed of evil spirits. They'd seen the way he reacted. But this man brought this boy with tears in his eyes and said, can you help him? Now, what do we learn about this boy? The scripture tells us a few things. One, that the spirit would try and destroy him. It says it would seize him and cause him to convulse and go into a fit. It tried to throw him into the water and into the fire in order to kill him and destroy him. And the father gives us a little bit of his anguish here. He says, this has been happening right since he was a child, since he was young. Now today, if we took we had somebody in a similar situation, today's diagnosis would be that this boy suffers epilepsy, he's got suicidal tendencies, and he'd be institutionalized. But we see the heart cry of the father, and he responds to Jesus, and he says, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on him. Well, how many know that this father's come to the right place? If you can do anything, well, what can Jesus do? If you can do anything, Lord, have compassion on him. There was another woman in the scriptures just a few chapters earlier, in chapter 5. This was a woman that, again, the Bible tells us a little bit about her. She was sick. She suffered a great deal. She suffered with a hemorrhage. She did everything in her power and her what she knew what to do to get right. She visited every doctor, every physician. And the Bible gives us a very sad situation is that she'd spent everything she had and she wasn't getting any better. In fact, she was getting worse and worse. You know, she was in an impossible situation too. Jane and myself have been reading through Exodus together in the mornings, and just a few days ago we read how God brought his people to the borders of the Red Sea. He brought them out of Egypt with great miracles. And as they faced the Red Sea, you know, they were in an impossible situation. There was no way forward in the natural. And Pharaoh and his armies were close behind them, pursuing them. And as you read through the account in Exodus 14, you know, they turn to Moses, look, Moses, it would have been better if we'd never left. An impossible situation. There was a young man in the scriptures who, obedient to his father, took some provisions to his brothers. His name was David. His brothers were fighting a battle against the Philistines. And as David arrives on the scene and hands over these provisions to his brothers, there's this obnoxious giant of a man bellowing threats. We know him, his name Goliath. And David, something right rose up in David. And he asks this question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, he faced, he said, and he stands standing before Saul, he says, I'm going to fight this man. He faced an impossible situation. David, you know, down here, Goliath at about 9 feet tall. And three times as wide. This was a killing machine, Goliath. Wasn't just your average sort of guy. He was the guy that any football team would want in goal, you know. But Goliath, as far as David and Goliath were concerned, this was an impossible situation. Let me just give you a couple more. What about that impetuous apostle, Peter? He suddenly finds himself in an impossible situation because questioning Jesus. He says, okay, look, you know the account. They're in a little fishing boat on the middle of a very stormy lake. And they see this figure, Jesus, coming towards them, walking on the water. And Peter shoots his hand up and says, okay, Lord, says, if it's you, if it's really you, Lord, then tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, okay then, Peter, he says, come. Now Peter finds himself in an impossible situation. He's either going to say, well, no, okay, I didn't mean it, Lord. Or actually get out of the boat and do what he said he would do. We find him in an impossible situation. Let me just go to one more. Now, you will find this person in the scriptures. But it's not a person that you would imagine. This person is you. Why you? Well, let me put you, you're in an impossible situation. Why? Because you cannot save yourself. You're in sin. You need a savior. You cannot do it yourself. You cannot die for yourself. And so you need someone to take your place. It's impossible. You need a savior. You know, these impossible situations we find ourselves in all the time. When God calls us to do something, it's very often impossible. Why does God ask you to do something which is impossible? Why does he ask you to do something without first asking if you can afford it? Why does he ask you to do something without first checking that you're okay with it? Why? He said, well, it's impossible, Lord. I can't do that because I've got to pay this bill. I've got to pay my rent. I've got my mortgage. I've got the electricity that's due. I've got to, for those of you that live in the UK, you've got your council tax to pay. Thankfully, we don't have that here. It's impossible. I want you to go somewhere. Well, I can't. I've got work. I've got this. I've got that. I've got this responsibility. I can't do it. It's impossible. You know, God calls us to do things which are impossible. Why? I'll tell you why. So that he gets the glory. Amen. Do you know, if it was possible, you'd be able to do it yourself. it was possible, you'd have the ability to do something. You'd be able to afford to do something. But God calls you to do the impossible because it's impossible. So that when He accomplishes through you what He has called you to do, you're not going to say, well, that was me. You only have one response. That was Him. Who would think that God would take a young boy who knew nothing, a young boy that just got along with living, to turn him into a preacher? It's got nothing to do with me, it's to do with Him. All to do with Him. When God calls to do something, it's very often, nearly always, is impossible. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. Many of you don't know this. We were believing and trusting God to come to Malta. And as a family, we talked about it, we prayed about it, we sought God, we had scriptures that we believed God gave us, which we stood on. And yet, in the natural, we came up and said, well, that's impossible. There's so much to do, it's impossible. And yet, somehow, God brought everything together, right at the very last moment. We'd had a few exciting things happen on the way on our journey. You know, we'd share with somebody that this is what we believe the Lord was calling us to do, and then provision was made. Without even sharing what was on our heart, we had people approach us and say, you know, do you know someone that needs this or needs this? And we said, yes, we do. You know, God came through for us. So these impossible things, God began to unveil. And then we came. We came and we saw a place that we liked. And we told the agent, yes, we will have that place. It was a smashing little house in St. Paul's Bay. And we came back to the UK, and the accommodation was settled as far as we were concerned. And we just carried on because we were preparing, get our tickets booked and get our flights arranged. And at this point, we still hadn't sold our house, but we trusted God. Then I got an email from the agent, a few weeks before we were due to fly out, and he said, I'm sorry, Mr. Warren, he says, but that place you were looking at, it's gone. It's gone. I will add this, when we actually arrived here, we went round and looked at it, and it looked like it was empty. And we've walked past a few times, and that house still looks empty. But the agent told him, it's gone. You can't have it. Now, whether the owner changed his mind, I don't know. But we were faced with an impossible situation. Flights were booked. We had nowhere to live. Yet God met the need. You know, believing is the key to receiving anything from God. Whether that's your salvation, whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's a touch of healing in your body, whether it's some other need that you have, maybe a financial need, an emotional need, a need in your family. Because Jesus went on to say to this man, this father, when he says, if you could do anything, have compassion on us, he responded to him in verse 23, and he says, look, he said, it's not about me. It's not if I could do anything. He says, if you can believe. If you can believe, it might just work. Thank you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And this immediately, this father, he cries with tears in his eyes. He says, yes, Lord, he says, I believe. I believe. But he doesn't finish there. He says, but help my unbelief. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you can do it. But it's still difficult. It's still difficult. Lord, I believe, but it's still difficult. I didn't finish my story. We eventually arrived in Malta. And everything was great. Before we came, we sold the house. The house had sold. The way that went was really quite amazing, the way God engineered things through the summer months. The house sold, we booked out, our flights were booked. We actually changed our flights. No, we hadn't actually booked, we had to change our date because of our youngest daughter, who decided that in the last minute she'd book her driving test. And that put us back 1 month. But we eventually came, the house had sold, we packed everything up, we got it on the back of a lorry to ship it to Malta. It was gone, we sat in an empty house. And we needed to go to the solicitor. Like you do, if you need to hand the keys over. And we went to the solicitor. And the solicitor said to us, Mr. and Mrs. Warren, there's a slight problem. The people that are buying the house have asked for an extra week. We said, fine. Okay, a week's not a problem. You know, we're taking enough money with us to last about 4 weeks. So we're fine, we'll be okay. That week turned into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. We got to the point sitting, I said, most of you don't know this, but we got into the position where we were sitting in our apartment in St. Paul's Bay, not able to afford to buy food. Couldn't put the heating on in the apartment in November. It was cold. We sit wrapped up, huddled up underneath a blanket. Spent most of the days in tears. What have we done? What have we done? We got to the point where we said, oh, that's it. We're going to go back to the UK. We decided that this was a Tuesday, that's it. We'd come down, we'd shed tears in the square, we'd looked out over the scene, I stood on the rooftop of the apartment. Thought, God, you promised me. Why? All those questions, you know, why? Like we often ask, why, Lord, are we in this mess? Why? Because the life of faith isn't easy. It's difficult. The scripture says this in Timothy, it says we should fight the good fight of faith. Paul says it's a fight of faith. It's not going to just fall out of heaven into your lap. It's a fight. Well, I stood and we said, well, this was a Tuesday afternoon, I remember, as there was still no hope of, we still haven't heard anything about our house. We said, okay, well, at least we've still got our house. We can go back. We didn't have the money to buy the ticket to go back. But we got to this point that we said, okay, that's it. This day came. Today. Tomorrow, we're going to book our ticket. We're going to go. We told the children, the girls, we said, we're going back to the UK. Tomorrow is, we're going to do it. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll borrow the money somewhere, we'll buy the ticket, we'll get back to the UK. We Read as friends encourage us through this time. And yeah, although their encouragement was right and good, it still didn't help. And I said to Jane, I'm going to go out and get. I went out to the bakery in St. Paul's Bay and said, I'm going to get a pint of milk, well, a small carton of milk, and a loaf of bread. I said, that's all we could afford to buy at the time. And I went out with a few, couple of euro that I had in my pocket, bought a bottle of a carton of milk, a loaf of bread. I got back to the apartment, Jane's in tears. She meets me on the steps of the apartment. She says, we've just had a letter from the solicitor. They've signed the contract for the house. Talk about 11th hour. Yes. Yes. You know, God calls us to do something. It's very often impossible. Yes. You might trust God and say, yes, I believe. You say, well, but it's still difficult. This is where this man was. Yes, Lord, I believe, but it's difficult. You know, I see my son every day. You know, what about those little doubts I've got? What happens if he doesn't get healed? What happens if it doesn't work? What happens if it all goes wrong? Why do we always say that? What happens? What if it doesn't happen? What happens? What happens if it does? Why do we never say that? What happens if it goes right? What happens if God gets the glory? What happens if... And all these positives. Well, it's a struggle to believe, isn't it? But don't quit through the doubts. That's what I want to encourage you this morning. Hold fast to the word of promise. You know, when we were sitting in that apartment, huddled up in the cold, with a blanket around us, do you know what we did? We didn't just cry. I'll tell you what we did. Hour after hour. But it wasn't just praying and... We went back. We shut everything off. No outside communication. We watched messages on the TV, videos, DVDs that I brought with me. We listened to the Word of God preached and proclaimed. We started to get the Word of God inside us. I went back because I kept a careful log of every scripture God had ever blessed me and spoke to me about going to Malta. I wrote these down. I wrote down how I felt. I wrote down about when we were discouraged and God came through with a promise and encouraged us. And I went through all of these. Went back nearly 2 years worth of scriptures that God had blessed. And we came to the point and we said, Lord, yes, we know you've called us. But we are, and I said to God, Lord, I know this, but I'm prepared to go back. If I've made a mistake. And that's when the answer came. But don't quit. Hold fast to the word of promise. Reread what God says. Listen. Get it inside. Why? Because difficulties soon become done. Do you remember there was a man in the scriptures? He was a leper. And he said, Lord, he says, I'm sick. He says, but I know if you're willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, what a silly thing to say to the Lord. If you're willing, Lord, you can make me clean. Jesus turned and said to him, I am willing. Be clean. Impossible. Maybe. Difficult. Definitely. But there's always a done. If we hold fast to what God says. Amen. Let's give a hand to God.